Leader of the Catholic Church has pledged to end clerical sexual exploitation of children. Pope Francis acknowledged a failure of church authorities to address, quote, repugnant clerical abuses as a source of shame for the Catholic community. The Pope made the comments during his trip to Ireland. Meanwhile, abuse survivors have questioned the Pope's ability to put an end to the scandal.
Finally, what the Pope, again, didn't tell us or anybody is how he is going to end this crisis. He just told us that, well, first of all, he told us there isn't really a problem. There was a problem in the past, but there isn't a problem now. And that's not true.
At times in the past, we have failed.
Earlier, the Irish Prime Minister called on the Pope to ensure justice for victims of clerical sex abuse. Catholic Church faces its worst credibility crisis in years. Scandals in Ireland, Australia, Chile, and the U.S. have put pressure on the Pope to address the issue of child sex abuse in detail. Joining us now is Mr. Edward Corrigan, international human rights lawyer. Hello, Mr. Corrigan. It's a pleasure to have you back on the program, sir. Now, my question to you, Mr. Corrigan, I mean, this is a centuries-old issue, and Pope Francis actually someone that actually came out of the closet and addressed this issue early on, said he's going to be, you know, very vigilant about what he does to clean this problem up in the Catholic Church. But a lot of people see now at this point he's really dragged his feet. He's barely saying, I'm going to put an end to it now. How is he going to put an end to this?
Well, this is a problem that exists in the Catholic Church, but also in other religions as well. There's been scandals in Canada, for example. There was a residential school scandal where it was an attempt to basically remove the native element from people. Children in the school system, they were physically abused, sexually abused. In fact, 25% of them died. So there's a big scandal there with the use of children. The Pope has admitted that there's a problem. He says maybe 1 or 2% of Catholic priests are pedophiles and have been, you know, guilty of this type of behavior. He's the first Pope that has really addressed this issue head on. Pope Benedict before him was the sort of the enforcer for the Catholic Church, which covered up this for many, many decades and was in charge of maintaining the reputation of the church, which was a grievous error. In fact, Pope Benedict has been named in a number of lawsuits, and I don't believe that if he leaves the sanctity of the Vatican, he would be arrested. But I know for a fact that he's been named as a party in various lawsuits with regard to sexual abuse. The Pope said that he was going to set up a commission in 2014 to adopt best practices and to root out this problem. But the problem is becoming, it's there, but it's becoming more and more publicized. The incidents, the reports in Ireland, there's over 300 priests were responsible for sexual abuse in Pennsylvania. There's similar scandals in Australia, scandals in Canada, maybe not to the same degree, but they're there. And, you know, it's very traumatic for, you know, a young boy or a young girl to be abused in this manner, and it can have a lifelong impact. So right now, the Catholic Church in the United States has paid over $3 billion of damages in court settlements and court awards to compensate for sexual abuse in the past. So, you know, it's...
But why is the church... My question is, why doesn't the church excommunicate these priests, hand them over to authorities for them to go to prison where they belong? Why are they getting... Okay, if they get pulled from the, you know, from the said church that they're in, there are a lot of times, we see them shuffled around, they might be demoted, but they're basically put on this merry-go-round where they're sent to other cities, states, or even sometimes countries to try to somehow cover it up. But guess what? Wherever they go, this baggage they're taking with them, this issue, this problem, this, if you want to call it a disease, they're taking with them, and, you know, just, you know, employing it wherever else they go on, you know, more innocent children. So why not excommunicate and hand these people over to prosecutors?
Well, as I said, Pope Benedict was in charge of keeping this under the wraps, and he was very, very strong at trying to preserve the reputation, and he ended up protecting priests. There's one priest like Minnesota who admitted to sexually abusing over 400 young deaf boys, and the church said that he couldn't be buried in his church vestments and stuff, but the family still went ahead. But I think the real solution is that these people should go to jail, and they need, psychological help. But to send a strong message to the community, plus the priests, and to everybody, you need to punish them with jail, and it's very, it hasn't happened in very many cases. Part of the problem is that there's sort of a separate legal system for the church. It's a canon law, and that gives them sort of a little bit of a wiggle room. But I think when you're dealing with criminal activity, you should be referring these people to the criminal courts, not just shuffling them around, because the problems keep going. And as it's, as we see, this has become a big problem. It's been around for, one report said for 70 years, there's over, 7,000 priests have been implicated in that type of behavior. So while the Catholic Church does a lot of good things, this is a real shame that the church has covered this up, and it needs to deal with people. I think the church also needs to look at perhaps, having priests getting married so that you have an outlet for these sort of urges. And
great
that
point.
Is something
that
the church
I was actually going to bring that up next. Is this whole thing being sworn to celibacy, we've heard this idea that you're mentioning being actually entertained in the past to get them out of this, the vow to celibacy, and have them get into familial, structures where, like you just mentioned. Go ahead. I'll let you continue.
Well, there are actually two sects within the Catholic Church that the priests can get married. The Maronites in the Middle East and also the Melkites. The priests get married, the bishops don't tend to. So there is already an example, and there's also a precedent where priests who are ministers with the Anglican Church, Presbyterian Church, Lutheran Church, they can join the Catholic Church and become priests, and they may be married and have children and stuff. So there are some loopholes, which is a lawyer like myself notes, but there is a declining number of priests. There are lots of alternatives now. You've got social workers, you've got all sorts of governmental structures that help people when the church usually took responsibility for this. And of course, the numbers of priests are declining. So they're pulling them from Ireland in the past, but from Africa and other places. And this is a problem that the church is going to do because, not only is their membership dwindling, but the numbers of priests is dwindling. And they're also in a very advanced age. And so the church has a problem. But I think Pope Francis is probably one of the few people who can come with this with a fresh approach, help solve the problem. And he has made strong statements about it, but I think now he has to put back up his words with action, just like the Irish Prime Minister said. And the Irish Prime Minister was very direct when he spoke with the Pope, and the Pope has agreed to meet with survivors. And, but this is a big problem, and it's a real embarrassment for the Catholic Church, and it's going to cost them a great deal of money, and hopefully they can overcome this. And, but it's unfortunately, it's just not the Catholic Church. It's other churches, too. There's examples of other people within other religion who abuse their power, and this has to change. And you're looking at people who are very fragile and can be destroyed, and I'm sure there's suicides and other things that have come through.
Indeed.
And
thank you for joining us, Mr. Edward Corrigan, once again, international human rights lawyer there, everyone. Always a pleasure. It's a pleasure to get your perspective on our program.